Good morning and welcome to the show, Resilient Souls. This is Stories of Change, the show that embraces life's transformations through the power of education, storytelling and music. I'm your host, Kim Harris, and I'm thrilled to have you join me once again on this journey of self-discovery and growth. If you're just tuning in, let me catch you up on what we've been talking about this term, and that is all about resilient living. It's one of those concepts that we hear a lot about. We need to build our resilience. We need to cultivate our resilience. So how do we actually go about doing that? What are some practical steps that we can take to actually do this? Well, that's what we've been talking about. We've been talking about what actually resilience is, which is actually all about empowering you to overcome life's obstacles. And it's not about avoiding challenges. It's actually just about rising up to the challenge of them and facing them with grace and courage and a touch of conscious thinking, which I really like. And each week we've been diving deep into the art of building personal resilience in particular. So equipping you with the tools that you need to weather life's storms and ups and downs. If you missed the show last week, it was fantastic. I spoke to Dave McFarlane, who's a local musician, and we talked about his industry in particular and his own resilience building techniques that he's developed through just cultivating his art form of music. So we all have our ways. It doesn't always have to be a straight line. There's many, many things we can do to build our resilience and thinking creatively in anything that we do within the creative arts. So whether it be music or filmmaking, or it could be painting, anything where there is a very clear kind of correlation between the ability to think creatively and also be resilient. So that was a great episode. If you missed that, you can catch that up on the podcast via the website, which is fantastic. So today's episode, we're actually going to start delving into a topic that's actually essential as a compass on the journey to developing personal resilience, and that is building emotional regulation and positive thinking. So these are two really critical elements that combine to help you build this type of resilience. So I'm going to really go into that. So on the topic of building emotional regulation, I'm actually going to play a few emotional songs this morning, ones that I really like that I think really do touch on all of the types of emotions that we can feel as human beings. So we've got really only, weirdly, from a chemical point of view, we usually only feel four types of feelings, even though we've got lots of words to describe variations of those four feelings. There's four predominant ones that we actually feel, and that is mad, sad, glad, or worried. I'm going to play some songs on those sort of topics to I guess, meet you wherever you are at today. So you might be feeling really happy today. You might be feeling a bit low, a bit flat. You might be feeling mad about something, you know, that hasn't gone your way. So hopefully I can play a song that will meet you where you are today and we can start getting into this topic of emotional regulation. But to begin with, I'm going to play a song from Counting Crows. Now, this is one, it's called Accidentally in Love, and I really like this one in particular. It reminds me a lot of driving around with my kids, actually, and my son more recently over lockdown. We were trying to get his hours up when we could drive, and we listened to this one on an old CD, and we both really like it. So it brings back fond memories for me. I hope you enjoy it too. It's Counting Crows, Accidentally in Love. Enjoy. That was A Wonderful World by Greg Holden. I think there are some interesting lyrics in that one about our experience sometimes of being human and just seeing sometimes the problems that surround us and not knowing what to really do about it. And that is where resilience comes in. It's when there is a problem, when there are things that we need to change or fix or move through or get over, and we can't do it on our own. Quite often we need the help and support of other people, and we also need to go there together. So these are all themes that are so deeply, convictions in my work and in my life, trying to work out how can I be part part of the solution and not part of the problem. It's 12 degrees here currently in Healesville. I'm going to keep playing some kind of emotional songs today, so I hope you like these ones. They're a bit more thought-provoking perhaps, but we will lift it up because obviously we have a kaleidoscope of feelings in life. We don't just have the sad feelings or the mad ones or the worrisome ones. Sometimes we have the real joyful experience and loving experiences as well. And on that note, I'm going to play the Whitlams' Fall For You. I hope that you have fallen for somebody and that they have fallen for you too. Enjoy this one. That was the Whitlams with I'll Fall For You. You're listening to 99.1 Yarra Valley FM. My name is Kim Harris and this is Stories of Change. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about kind of two skills that work hand in hand to help you build a solid foundation for resilience in the face of challenges. And remember, as with any skill that we learn, practice makes progress. So we want to practice these things when we can. And it's a good idea to start to practice these sorts of things when things are going well. So when there's no pressure on the system, you can practice these things and it's a lot easier to sort of have a go at it. So I'm going to be unpacking actually how you do these things a little bit later on today. I'll be on the air between 10 and 1 p.m. today. So I've got plenty of time. We're going to play lots of beautiful music as well. I'm going to play some of those more emotional songs for this first hour, because emotions can often feel like this swirling sea, and we need to learn to ride those waves, because it can mean the difference between feeling really quite difficult emotional distress and being tossed around, and or steering your own course and actually being able to ground yourself regardless of what's going on around you. So emotional regulation is about understanding, taming, and ultimately harnessing the message of your emotions. Emotions, I like to think of them like little sentient beings that are there to help us and support us being better versions of ourselves and more calm versions of ourselves, even in the face of twists and turns of life. So that's sort of a big focus of the show today. And also the second one, as that I mentioned, the second skill that works hand in hand with emotional regulation is positive thinking. And I'm not talking about that kind of toxic positivity where you just slap on a smile and go, she'll be right, mate. It's actually more about reshaping your reality through the lens of hope and possibility, seeing the possibility in a situation and actually setting some goals to get yourself out of there. So with that in mind, I'm going to play a song which is called Future Self. It's by David Archuleta. Now, the reason I like this is because it's on this concept of your future self. Like, who do you want to be? You know, who do you want to be in the face of life's difficulties, in the face of a challenge that you might be having? How do you want to show up for yourself? How do you want to be for other people in your life? Do you want to be the mad version of yourself, the worried or fearful version of yourself, or do you want to be the calm, centered person that can find a way through this and reach out to others in a really successful way? So enjoy this song. This has got some good ideas in it about being your future self. Enjoy. This morning, we're talking about resilience. We're talking about how to actually build personal resilience over this term. The first episode, I talked about just what resilience actually is and really defined that really well, so you actually know the game that we're playing, so to speak. It's hard to know where the goal is if you don't define the goal. So speaking of goals, one of the hand-in-hand skills that I'm going to be unpacking today and actually giving you some practical tips around is this idea of positive thinking. And that was one of the reasons I played that last song by Savage Garden, because they're a great Australian band, number one. But number two, there's the idea of gardening. You know, this show is all about educating you and informing you and planting those little seeds in your brain, hopefully, to contemplate and mull over and hopefully turn them over, just like the process of gardening when we turn the soil over and we plant those seeds in there. We want some of these ideas to take. And positivity is one of those things as well that combine with emotional regulation. So whilst I'm playing some kind of songs to make you think emotionally, like that last one, Truly, Madly, Deeply, Being in Love, I'm going to play another one that's kind of on the same theme, but I like this one because it's got that positive thinking element and it's called Gonna Get Over You. So it's like this idea that sometimes we might be stuck feeling like we're never going to get over something, but we've got that goal that one day we're going to get over this. So I like this one because it's actually a bit playful and fun. It's by Sarah Bareilles, Gonna Get Over You. Enjoy this one. That was LMC versus U2 with Take Me to the Clouds Above. How are you feeling? How do you feel about those versions of the songs? You know, those mashups, they call them. I could hear that yearning sound of that U2 song behind it, and it's such a cool song on its own, and then they've put it together with that blended thing. How does that make you feel, I wonder? I listen to them from time to time and I think, oh, I'm not sure. And then, but it's a interesting take on an old favourite, and I kind of think of it like, I don't know if you've watched any of those shows where they renovate old cars. So there's the purest way of restoring a car, and they try to find and source all the original parts and put it on back on, bring a car back to its former glory as a pure expression of what it was back in the day. And then there's the other kind of more chop shops where they will, like, in this kind of fantastical way, reimagine a car and even turn it into almost like a cartoonish kind of car, and that's a more creative and different kind of retelling of the car. I find it really fascinating. I think songs like that are a bit like that kind of mashup of old and new. So, and I guess the reason I'm asking how you're feeling is because this episode is going to be all about the importance of emotional regulation. So I'm hoping to pique your interest and get your emotions kind of invested in the show today. And we're coming up on the hour, so we're going to have the news in a minute. It's actually 3 minutes to 11 right now, 12 degrees in Healesville. And what I'm inviting you to do is, if you're at home, you can grab a cozy spot, that's great. If you're in your car, maybe pull over in the next couple of minutes, grab yourself a cup of your favourite brew, and in over the other side into the hour of 11, we're going to start to unpack the importance of emotional regulation and actually how to kind of navigate emotions to begin with, and start to give you some skills. We want to start building those skills of how we can actually learn to, over time, and practice regulating emotionals, particularly the strong ones. So looking forward to unpacking that with you after the break. But with the idea of going for a bit of a coffee break now, I'm also going to go and make myself a cup of coffee. I'm going to play one of my, it's kind of a new favourite song of mine. It's called Coffee. It's by Billy Raffel. I think that's how you say his name. But I really like it. So I hope you enjoy it too. Enjoy this one. And yeah, make yourself a cuppa. Welcome back. This is 99.1 Yarra Valley FM. My name is Kim Harris and this is Stories of Change. Well, we've been talking this morning about the topic of resilience and how to actually go about cultivating resilience, personal resilience, when we're going through life's ups and downs, which is really relevant because life does have ups and downs and we all know this, and how do we actually tackle it and how do we tackle it together? So today I'm focusing in on a couple of skills that do help with this topic of resilience. And the first skill is this topic of emotional regulation. So firstly, what is emotional regulation and why is it important to actually learn how to do this as a skill? Well, all of us feel feelings and experience emotions. We feel positive ones, negative ones, each and every day. Emotions are a really normal part of our everyday life. Everyone experiences them. For some, though, feelings and the emotions that they feel can seem really overwhelming. Like, they can feel like they're completely out of control and just under like a huge storm of emotions. It's common for one or more strong emotions to occur as they go about their day. These sorts of people that can be quite particularly affected by them, and it can often include guilt and feelings of sadness. It can be frustration and anger. It can be self-blame or just come out of a real feeling of low self-worth. But generally speaking, it's a feeling of being overwhelmed emotionally. And what we can feel is this urge that we need to do something. We need to stop the intensity. And we have all kinds of self-protective measures that can sometimes kick in there. And I don't know about you, but I have 8 kids. So I have, and a lot of them are teenagers. They're in those teenage years. And I do hear hear about, particularly with teenagers, leading this kind of overwhelm, this emotional overwhelm leading to self-harm, cutting and things like that, which is, yeah, it's a symptom of the inability to regulate their emotions in some healthier way. So emotional regulation is a term that is usually used to describe a person's ability to effectively manage and respond to an emotional experience. And people unconsciously use emotional regulation strategies to cope with difficult situations. All throughout the day, you'll be doing this quite organically. And most of us use these regulation strategies, and we're able to apply them to different situations to adapt to the demands of the environment, depending on sort of what's going on. And the truth is that some of those strategies that we use are healthy and some aren't. And healthy coping strategies is kind of what we want to talk about this morning. I want to start getting into what are some healthy, you know, coping strategies when you're overcome with emotions, and how can we start to diffuse some of those strong emotions and allow us to have a greater understanding of ourselves and what actually led to that emotional experience, and then reel in some of those urges, and hopefully, you know, that these sorts of things aren't leading you to self-harm in some way, because that's obviously something that we really want to try to avoid and help you with if that is the case. And if that is the case, please reach out. Do not do this alone. There are lots of people who can help you to regulate your emotions. You might not be able to do it on your own, and that's okay too. But we are going to talk about some simple methods that you can employ, you know, to start to learn how to regulate your emotions. And I'll get into that after a couple more songs. So I'm going to play another song, and it is kind of an interesting song. It's called Funeral, and it's by Phoebe Bridgers. Now, the reason I'm going to play this song is because in the song, she's talking about the fact that she's feeling all these feelings, and then she learns that someone's lost their child, and she thinks, well, I shouldn't be sad about my problem, because someone's got it far worse. And I think that's a great example of an unhealthy coping strategy that we can have. It's a self-defense mechanism that's called minimizing, and it's where we sort of go, well, my feelings don't matter, or the situation I'm going through isn't as bad as what perhaps somebody else is going through, and that's not great either. So we want to practice not minimizing our feelings. So I thought this song I'm going to play just to sort of speak to that kind of idea and start to encourage this openness about our emotions and sharing about them in a way that's really healthy. So listen to this song. You're listening to 99.1 Yarra Valley FM and Stories of Change with me, Kim Harris. And I've been playing some particularly emotionally like rich songs this morning, just to get you into this idea of learning the skill set that is required to regulate ourselves when we are overcome with emotion. That last song I played just before that one, called Funeral, I thought was particularly, it's a particularly sad one. It's one of those really gripping songs I personally find, and it's a good place to sort of start to delve into these waters of emotion and emotional territory, and what do we do when we're feeling, you know, levels of distress or upset, and how do we navigate those sorts of waters. So that's what we're talking about in this part of the show, the importance of emotional regulation. And just before that song, I did talk about what emotional regulation is. So what is emotional dysregulation then? And that's just a term used to describe an inability to regularly use healthy strategies to diffuse or moderate those negative emotions. So while all people occasionally we can have, you know, less than ideal emotional regulation strategies, people who regularly experience what feels like overwhelming, intense negative emotions are much more likely to rely on unhealthy strategies. So this is why it's so important to understand emotional regulation and dysregulation, because there are lots of fascinating studies out there around our emotional experience as humans, and Researchers have found that individuals with strong emotional regulation skills are not only better equipped to handle challenging situations, but they also report a higher level of just overall well-being. So imagine being able to navigate life's ups and downs with a steady hand and a calm heart. And that is what this episode is all about this hour. So basically, a little bit more education for you around this sphere of emotional regulation is we can have, you have a situation, and any situation will trigger a problem. And it could be, and a simple example might be that you're criticized at work. And what happens as a result of that trigger or that inciting incident is that you might have some thoughts, and the thought might be, oh, I'm just not good enough, or I'm never going to get this right, something like that. And then as a result of that thought, our brain picks up the signal of the distress that we're generating from that thought, and we start to feel it in our body. So we'll have a physical reaction. Sometimes it can be a tingling feeling, but we can also, over time, if it's a consistent kind of worry that we have or a thought that we consistently have, we can feel tired, we can lose our appetite, we can find it difficult to sleep. And these are all physical symptoms of this underlying thought. We can also have these unconscious emotional experiences. So emotions are actually just chemistry. They're chemically produced by the brain. And when we feel those chemical signals, we will label it like I'm worthless, or I'm feeling anxious, or I'm feeling worried. And we actually have a lot of words to use to describe these emotional cocktails that are mixed up by our brain. So we have a situation, we have thoughts, we have a bodily physical reaction, we have emotions. And then what happens is, as a result of all of that, we then have behavior that stems from that. So that's when we go into, well, now, based on what I'm thinking, what I'm feeling, and these physical reactions in my body, I'm going to do something. And we have all sorts of things that we can do at that point. We can isolate ourselves, we can avoid contact with others. And then there's obviously other really well-known kinds of coping strategies that we know are less than ideal, like abusing alcohol or other substances, or, you know, self-injury or physical or verbal aggression can be a common one, a coping mechanism. And we can also do, I guess, more in modern times, we can use excessive doses of social media. Like, we just go through that mindless scrolling. And really, all we're trying to do is cope, you know, with this underlying cascade of consequences that are happening based on this triggered event. So we're going to get into some techniques for emotional regulation, and we're going to talk about some of the more healthy ways that we can regulate our emotions. But before I do that, I'm going to play another song. I think this is a good one. This is Bruises by Lewis Capaldi. He is a young fellow who sort of burst onto the scene. He didn't have a lot of experience, but he himself suffers from anxiety. And so his story is actually up on Netflix. It's a really great, it's a great story about, you know, how he's had to himself build resilience and rely on people around him, and look at the structures in his life that sometimes lead him to do more unhealthy things. But it's very positive that he's talking about it and talking about his struggles, because education really does help, and those stories really do help us to normalize the experience of being human and the experience of all these things I'm talking about, having thoughts, feelings, behaviours that sometimes are less than ideal. So enjoy this one. This one's Bruises by Lewis Capaldi.
Counting days since my love up and got lost.
That was Rascal Flatts with What Hurts the Most, another beautiful song there. And we are talking all about feelings. We're talking about what hurts us sometimes and what makes us feel good as well sometimes. I'm going to play some of those more upbeat tunes as we get through the show today, but I really wanted to stir up some feelings so that you've actually got some clue of what I'm talking about, some experience of what I'm talking about, hopefully in your physical body. And just before that, those two songs, I was talking about this cycle of we have a triggering kind of event. It starts a cascade of different things that can happen. We can have a thought, we can have a feeling, we can have a like a sensation in our body. We can have an emotional reaction, or we can exhibit some kind of behavior. And it doesn't really matter. One will be most obvious to you. So you might be more aware, perhaps, of a problem behavior, like an urge you get to jump, get on your phone and scroll mindlessly through social media. That's an example of a behavior. And that might be the first thing that you're aware of, that you're actually having an emotional experience and perhaps looking to alleviate some of the distress there, even if it's really minor, through doing that kind of mindless activity. So for some of us, we're much more aware of our emotional reaction, like we can feel angry or sad and it can be very overwhelming, and we're much more aware of the emotional experience that we're having. Some people are more bodily aware. We do have a lot of people that out there that are very kinesthetic and feel very, they might feel like a knot in their stomach, or they might feel quite nauseated or sick. They could get a headache. So there might be some physical manifestations of something going on. And then we can have people who have problematic thoughts. So just a recurring thought, like, it just doesn't matter what I do, I'm never going to get this right, I'm never going to do this. That's an example of a thought that perhaps, you know, can cycle through your brain. It doesn't matter which way you enter into this cycle, whichever is the thing that you're most aware of. The point is that they all are connected, and they lead back to you understanding yourself better. So every experience that you're having can be a way of you getting some intelligence on yourself. And we want to start to break this cycle, particularly if we are using unhealthy coping strategies that actually aren't going to set us up down the long run. A great book on this kind of subject and this kind of idea is called Anti-Fragile. And what I really like about that book is that it talks about the fact that when we choose an unhealthy coping strategy, it's okay, it does the job in the meantime. So if we reach for a beer when we're feeling stressed out, it's a very quick A to B, we can feel relaxed pretty quickly. But what happens over the long term is we actually make the system fragile, because we actually are consuming poison, for example, which has a cascade of other bodily, you know, things associated with it. So, you know, over time, we can make ourselves less and less fragile when we choose these ways to regulate our emotions that are actually not healthy for us over the long term. So I want to talk about some ways that we can do it in a healthy way. We can regulate our emotions in a healthy way. And I want you to understand that it is a skill set to build. Like, it's not necessarily easy. And depending on how long you have been dysregulated for, we have sometimes really ingrained some unhealthy coping strategies that are now quite habitual and quite automatic, and we don't even think about it. So actually, to enter into and break that cycle takes a little bit of commitment and a lot of work. So yeah, not exactly easy, but we can start with some really simple things, because first we just want to start raising our conscious awareness of what's going on, which is why I'm educating you on these types of, you know, these structures that keep things going. So when we have a problem, every problem is upheld by emotion and logic. So that, as you can hear in that cycle, we have thoughts, which is the logical side playing out, and emotions, which is the sensations in our bodies and the feeling words and the labels that we give our experience. That really holds up and keeps in place a lot of problems in our life. So we really want to get curious about all this stuff so that we can start to, you know, just understand ourselves, understand the messages from our mind, from our hearts, from our bodies, and start to, you know, overcome some of those, solving the problems that we can solve is a good place to start. So let's get into some techniques then. So we've talked enough about the whys and the wherefores and the explanations. So how do we do something about it? What are some exercises that we can engage in? Well, the first one is a really simple one. You've probably heard about it. It's called mindfulness. So we can practice mindfulness exercises. I really like mindfulness as a way to kind of put a pause into your experience, so that you can actually start to pay much more conscious awareness to what's happening for you. So it's a real first step in the practicing of emotional regulation. So Mindfulness is a bit of a secret weapon for people who are really masterful at this. They do use it to help themselves regulate their emotions. So if you think about it as a mental gym for your emotions, so it's quite simple to do. You can find a quiet space, just close your eyes, take a few deep breaths. Some people engage in breath work as a practice regularly. You can do these sorts of lessons, which is something that can be really beneficial. A guide then, you're then guided through how to actually breathe more deeply and more beneficially for your body. And if you think about it, breathing makes perfect sense. It's the thing, if we stop breathing, you know, we're going to be, you know, a cactus within a very short space of time, like a few minutes, and we're done if we're not getting oxygen. So oxygen is very, very, very important for our body. And so taking those deep breaths is really, really important to do. And we can actually weirdly forget to breathe as deeply as we're actually capable of. So we miss out on some of those benefits sometimes. So yeah, finding that quiet space, closing your eyes, taking a few deep breaths is all it really takes. And then with each of those breaths, you're centering your focus on the present moment. We're starting to notice any sensations in your body. We're starting to notice any thoughts that arise. And we simply just want to observe them without judgment. So it's a real practice of self-compassion as well. It's just kind of the way I've heard it described is like if you imagine you're sitting on a riverbank and you're watching a leaf float down the river. And it's pretty much what we want to do. We just want to watch our thoughts flow down the river like a leaf going down a river. Very, very simple. So other people use bubbles. Bubbles can be really an effective thing to imagine as well. You can imagine your thoughts in a bubble that's kind of floating down gently. Same sort of thing. Just breathing. You're not clinging onto them, because if you cling onto a bubble, it's going to burst. So we just want to let them float by. And I think it's good to also know that mindfulness isn't about emptying your mind. It's actually being aware of what's happening without being swept away by it. So when we start with just a few minutes each day of what I'm talking about, just find a quiet moment, close your eyes, take some deep breaths. When we just start doing that just for a minute each day, we can gradually extend the practice if we need to. And with time, you'll find yourself becoming much more attuned to what you're thinking, what you're feeling. And then that gives you some power then about how you're going to actually respond to those experiences that you're having. So that's the first practical exercise for emotional regulation. The second one is recognizing and labeling the emotions. Now, this is a really interesting one for me because I love words. and if you've listened to my show for a while, you'll know how much I love them, looking at the meaning of words. But we do have, in our English language, we have about 3,500 words to describe negative emotions, and we have about 1,500 words to describe positive emotions. So we've got way more words to describe our negative emotions or our painful emotions than our positive ones. However, recognizing and labeling our emotions is a way of experiencing them more fully. And when we practice this with the mindfulness exercise, we're sort of going, oh, I notice I'm feeling sad. Oh, I notice I'm feeling excited. And as we become more able to recognize and label our emotions, it can actually slow them down. So it's a way of kind of minimizing that whirlwind and that feeling of overwhelm, and gives us a little bit more of power over them. So what are you feeling right now? Can you give what you're feeling right now a name, a label? Can you give it a name like anger or sadness or frustration, whatever fits, whatever the word fits? It doesn't matter what the word is. And weirdly, I do know people in my coaching practice who do give certain feelings names, like Bob or Margaret. And yeah, so you can be creative as well. But by identifying and labeling your emotions, you're just taking that first step towards regulating them. Yeah, just I guess that's one way. And you can take the next step too. Not all of us are writers, but journaling is a really helpful tool, because it is the process of getting those thoughts and feelings out onto a page where we can observe them in a more disassociated kind of position. We can look at actually, this is what I was thinking. And finding that degree of separation can be really helpful too in toning down the intensity of an emotion. So I do have many clients, I do often recommend journaling and writing things down and writing down what you're feeling and why you're feeling it. And over time, what I find with all of my clients is they realize that simply acknowledging the emotion allows these people to respond way more calmly and thoughtfully to what they're experiencing. So next time you're caught in a storm of emotions, maybe pause, take a moment to close your eyes, breathe, and ask yourself, what am I feeling right now? And that simple act of recognition can be the bridge to help to calm that emotional sea. So that's the second practical thing you can do to start cultivating more resilience through the practice of emotional regulation. And the final one is this one's really helpful for, particularly if you suffer from some anxiety or if you know someone who feels anxious sometimes. Anxiety is all about a fear of the future, something that's we feel is imminent in our future or that's going to happen. So we can have a very strong and sometimes quite distressing reaction to those thoughts, these fear-based thoughts of the future, and we feel it and experience it as anxiety sometimes. So it can be really, really overwhelming, and people who are experiencing it can really have this feeling like they're not even connected to reality. If you've ever watched anyone have a panic attack, it's definitely quite a difficult one. And there's a technique called a grounding technique. Now, there's lots of different types of grounding techniques, and I have like oodles of them. Is helpful to teach people lots of different options, because there's usually a couple that will really appeal to a person. So this one might not appeal to you, but the idea is the same. We just want to find a way to help ourselves ground. It's kind of like if you think of a really bad storm and we want to hold on to something, you know, like it's pretty much exactly like that. We want to hold on to something until the storm passes. And that's what grounding techniques are used for. They can be that anchor in those moments when you're in that emotional whirlwind. So imagine if you're feeling anxious. To ground yourself, one of the simple things you can do is just start by naming five things you can see around you. So this is the 5-4-3-2-1 grounding technique, it's called. So the first one is five. How many things can you see? Let's say it's a plant, a book, a window, a cup, your phone. We just want to notice what we can see. Then we want to do four things you can touch. So that might be your desk, your clothes, your hair, the floor beneath your feet. Next, tune into three things you can hear: the hum of your computer, the rustling of the leaves outside, or even your own breath. Then you move on to two things you can smell, maybe the smell of your coffee if you went and made a coffee, or the freshness of the air, beautiful winter air here in Healesville. Smells lovely. And lastly, you want to savor one thing that you can taste. Perhaps that's a mint you just had. And it is a good idea, if you do are prone to anxiety, to carry some mints around you just for that purpose, just to give yourself a healthy coping mechanism and a way to ground yourself. But by grounding yourself in the present moment, using your senses, you can start to also regain control over your emotions. So this technique is like a lifeline. It can pull you back into the safety of the present moment, which is really important. As I said, if you're feeling some anxiety, you're in the future, and we want to come back to the present moment as much as we can, because this is what helps us to regulate those emotions and enable us to have more resilience. So after the break, I'm going to break now and play some songs, because that was a lot to take in, but I'm going to quickly summarize it for you. So the first one was practice some mindfulness exercises. That's like breath work and just taking a moment to observe your thoughts, the sensations in your body, and any feelings that you're having, any behaviors that you're watching or observing yourself take. That's the first one, practicing mindfulness. The second practicing technique you can do is just recognizing and labeling your emotions. So just giving them a feeling word descriptor, like anger, sadness, joy, excitement. Give those emotions some names. That is a really good way to start to regulate them. And the final technique was the 5-4-3-2-1 grounding technique. 5 things that you can see, 4 things that you can hear, 3 things that you can smell, 2 things that you can... Four things you can touch, 3 things that you can hear, 2 things that you can smell, and 1 thing that you can taste. Yeah, so that's a way of starting to get more present and more connected to your body. So if you haven't heard about that one before, that one can be a really good one. And it can be a really good one to teach kids, actually, too. It really helps them to regulate their emotions as well. So after the break, we're going to continue our journey into the realm of positive thinking. So this segment in this hour was all about emotional regulation. I want to change gears and move into the power of positive thinking. And as I said earlier, this is not about putting a smiley face on anything. That's actually, that's kind of can be a bit toxic to the system, actually, if we just try and step over our feelings and say, I'm fine, everything's fine, and whack a smile on our face and keep going. That can actually be not very good for ourselves. That's not a healthy coping mechanism at all. So whilst we're having a break, whilst I'm playing some music, grab your notebook. Hope you're still in a favourite cozy spot. Maybe you've got your slippers on, your heater on, or a fire burning if you're really lucky. And I want you to stay tuned for some more insights and more strategies that will help you transform your mindset and have a different emotional experience. All of this for the purpose of building, obviously, your emotional resilience. So looking forward to getting into some further techniques, and I'm going to play some songs now. So we've got this one by Daniel Powter, Bad Day, because we all have bad days, but I think this is a nice song that reminds us that, you know, they don't last forever. So enjoy this one.